Ready to launch your business? Get started with the commerce platform made for entrepreneurs. Shopify is specially designed to help you start, run, and grow your business with easy, customizable themes that let you build your brand, marketing tools that get your products out there, integrated shipping solutions that actually save you time. From startups to scale-ups, online, in person, and on the go, Shopify is made for entrepreneurs like you.
Sign up for your $1 a month trial at shopify.com/setup.
Last night, the world was watching a pivotal Game 5 in this year's NBA Finals with the Oklahoma City Thunder taking care of home court that they won back and beating the Indiana Pacers in convincing fashion 120-109. The series now heads to Indiana for Game 6 on Juneteenth with OKC in a position to end it and win their first championship in franchise history. Who do you guys have winning Game 6? And then I do want to have a discussion about Game 5 and then 4, because we weren't on air about those.
Is Halliburton out?
Oh, and I forgot to mention that too. He said if he can walk, he can play. He's going to play.
Oh, that don't. I mean, he wasn't effective though, so that don't mean a lot, being that he's going to play even if he's hurt out there. So knowing everything that we know now and seeing what I saw, I got the Thunder winning the next game on the road, winning the championship.
I think it's going to go 7. I think I feel where Halliburton's coming from. If he could walk, he could play. He knows what it felt like that last game where he was ineffective. You got to shoot it up, do whatever it is that you got to do. He knows what's required of him for his team to win. So I think he pulls it out at home.
Games. If he can play, I want to bet on Indiana.
Is it okay?
That's it. Because I mean, what else did it really say? Like somehow, some way, they're gonna find a way. Like it's gonna be TJ, it's gonna be Pascal, and if it's not gonna be Halliburton, then Nembhard and Nesmith are gonna find a way to just go berserk from three. But if they don't, it was game four that they blew the series, and I don't think they'll ever be able to live it down.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in a sec. Give my answer real quick. Spike. I originally thought this was going to go 7. And I'm going to stick with that because OKC's bench players were far more comfortable at home. And I saw it last night. Jay Will went off. SGA picked the spots, and mainly on the defensive end in the fourth quarter. He was huge for them. So I thought he was great. But I think that on the road, I haven't seen them play very well. And going back to game four, they were not playing well in that game, but SGA found a way to win. What was you about to say, Spike?
I look at SGA plenty if he can't take out an injured Halliburton and others as far as what the trajectory that he's supposed to be on.
Even like if he wins in game 7?
Yeah, like I got to take you out in 6, bro. Like I don't need 7 games for an injured Halliburton and that team if SGA is who they saying he is. I really feel like this game is a defining moment in his career. Like you can go on and win 7 and yeah, you'll still get the accolades from being a champion. But knowing where Halliburton is, Jalen Williams just gave me a 40 ball in the last game. Like I think it says a lot about Halliburton if he can't close. It says a lot about SGA if he can't close this out on the road.
I don't know about 6. That one, Spike. I think he had his moment in game 4. That game 4 win when they were down 10, 12 points going into damn near going into the fourth quarter. Like he, what, 15 points in the fourth quarter? Games, pretty much the series on the line. And he went off to steal that game from Indy. I think if anything, that was the game where Halliburton had a chance to really put this series away, and he kind of let Nas down with this performance. But I think SGA had a moment there. And that game reminded me of they were in a similar situation against Denver. And I think they learned a lot in that series because they were down in that game to Denver, and they found a way to win that game and take advantage of the lead. But what happened in that one, Spike? It went seven.
I have to say that game four was – we had the potential to look up in a couple of days and be like, game four was one of the biggest chokes you've ever seen. And the reason why I think it's one of the bigger chokes that could possibly ever happen in a finals is besides Caruso and Chet, the Thunder looked kind of defeated. Jalen Williams looked like he had kind of quit. He didn't know what to do. SGA looked like he had kind of ran out of gas. He was super tired. He was confused by the actions that they were doing. They were up 12 points. And I remember watching that lead dwindle possession after possession, thinking, because it was the last final minutes of, if not the halftime, right, I think it was the third quarter, but please somebody correct me. I think it was either the end of the third quarter, last 2 minutes, or right before halftime. But they were up 12 points, and they cut to seven. And I was just like, that is the game right there. That five-point swing, it should have been 20 points going into halftime or 20 points going into the fourth quarter. Pascal Siakam uncharacteristically gets out of the offensive flow of the rhythm, and he starts, you know, barreling into the middle of the paint and doing no-look passes that are getting intercepted. You have Obi Toppin shooting threes thinking that he's like Klay Thompson in 2016. And for some reason, Nembhard and Nesmith are just not where they're supposed to be. They're turning the ball over on out-of-bounds plays, and 7 points just like that. And Caruso, to start either the third quarter or start the fourth quarter, cuts it to five with a nice jumper over, I think it was Miles Turner. And that right there was the game, because the Thunder had overcome that mental hurdle. And they realized, oh, hey, this Indiana juju don't work on us. Like, we're actually better. Okay, cool. Like, we can actually, like, play defense. Or SGA, walk them down. Let's do it. That travel call that didn't happen was atrocious. But beyond that, you can't put it all on one call, because the Pacers got out of their offense and they fucked themselves over. And that's why I say it could potentially be one of the biggest chokes. There was no excuse for any of those plays down the stretch. Rick Carlisle, he's sitting Halliburton too long in key spots for me. And I don't like that we're not going to be able to extend this series, because I think OKC, I think that the betting man has to put the money on them.
100% Q. I do think I don't disagree with the Carlisle sitting Tyrese a little too long, but maybe he already knew about the injuries, trying to get him as much, you know, rest as possible so that way he can go down the stretch. I will also say this. Game four, to me, is just kind of sort of what this series has been. So I don't want to call it a choke job. Should have they won that game 100%? They were in the lead for three quarters, just kind of the opposite of what happened in OKC game one. You know what I'm saying? And OKC turned it on. I agree with you. They was like, nah, they realized, nah, we're the number one seed in the NBA. Like,
yeah,
this is what we do. And you saw them, like, and I agree, overcome the mental hurdle. To me, I think the game that is even more pivotal, the game four, was last night. And the reason why I say that is Indiana's best player, Halliburton, was clearly not himself. Nobody knew that he was injured until after the game. And, you know, everybody would say, hey, you know, he has a calf, this, that, and the third, right? But in that game, they were down, I want to say, as much as like when I had tuned in, they was down like 16, 17 points. And they cut it down to three. Mm-hmm. And Nembhard had a bad turnover. They got out of their stuff. And for me, that's the reason why I said this is going to go seven, because if you get 0 points, multiple turnovers from your best player, and at some point you had it down to three with the ability to take it and steal it again, if Halliburton is 65, 70% of what he is, and he plays, let's say we're going to bump him up an extra 10 because he's at home, an extra 10%, they should win that game. Now, are they going to win the series? I don't know. Mainly because, I agree with you. I think that OKC has overcome the mental hurdle. I think something that was not talked about a lot going into the series, you know, and I wish Nick was here, because Nick was like, oh, you know, they're the number one team. They've been so dominant, this, that, and the third. Everything has a duality to it. when you're that dominant, guess what happens? Guess what you don't do? You don't play in close games. So you don't have that experience, right, to draw from, oh, close game, all right, this is what we got to do. This is what they're trying to do. This is our counter, right? Like, you're not comfortable. And we saw the first couple of games when it gets tight like that, OKC wasn't comfortable. I think that they found a comfort zone. I don't think that they are now just world beaters where, you know, they're comfortable in the most pressure cook situations. But I think that we're seeing them grow into that right before our eyes. And I think that's the beautiful thing about OKC for the last two seasons is that we're seeing them literally grow right before our eyes, whether it's regular season, postseason, and now them being in the finals. So that's why I think they're going to win in seven, but I think that game six, like I said in game four, hey, they're going to have to come in and just choke them out. They're going to have to put they foot on their neck and get up 20, 25 and be like, hey, it's never getting under 17. That's the only way that I think they win in Indiana.
I think for a good part of the series after they stole game one, and definitely when Indiana was at home, it looked like they had OKC shook. And the commentary you guys were talking about OKC was starting to rear its head. You know, the experience and these pressure cooker moments that they were undergoing, kind of to add a little bit to what you were talking about, FIFO, is that we haven't played a lot of close games, so we're not, as Jalen put in the chat, we're not battle tested. But I think Denver gave them some really experience, a lot of experience that they relied on, and somehow they found a way to win. SGA hit a big three in that game, and yeah, that was a bad travel they didn't call, but he had already given them the lead before then. You know, that was just extra. And he closed
it's
it
not
out.
Technically a travel though.
I got you.
I hate to break it to you.
I got you, but
what was it? We wanted to travel.
I think they talked about the gather, right?
Yeah. So your first step does not count in your 1-2 until the ball in your hand. Hold on, the ball in your hand touches the other hand. Once this happens, then I have 1-2. If you look at that, when you talk about like the step back, right? Mm-hmm. When he took that step, that people would say that constitutes a travel, the other hand didn't stop the ball.
So if you cradle it, you get an extra step?
It's called a zero step, I think.
It's a gather
you
step.
Have to cradle, a gather you have step. To cradle the ball to do that.
You have the zero step because what? It's like if somebody – like it's like all right, like in football, Spike, let's say that there was traveling in football. If I throw the receiver a ball and you can only take two steps with it, right? If I'm Randy Moss and I catch the ball – I haven't taken a step yet once the ball hits my hand. The minute I catch it, now it's 1-2. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Same shit.
I didn't know where the hell you was going with that cue, but that was actually really good.
You feel me?
I was like, where are you going?
But you feel me? Though, buddy?
Yeah, but yeah, but even in going to game, so game four, I'm with Q, man. That they owned that game. Sure. And Q, it happened when Obi Toppin got there and he missed two free throws. I'm not going to let that go because that could have pushed the lead to 12. And after that, that's when the lead came back down to seven, and they just fell apart in the fourth quarter. And then game five, yeah, we didn't know Halliburton was hurt, but it didn't really mean shit because he has a history of he's like a fucking stop ticker, bro. He's up, he's down, he's up, he's down. So for what we've seen, he just wasn't doing shit. And thank you, Tweets Open Doors. Mathurin, I think Rick Carlisle did not help himself in game five. In game five, in spite of OKC dominating that game, there was a moment where they came back and it was within three. There was a moment they could have got it within four. And then there was a moment down the stretch where they were right within striking distance. Mathurin comes in the game. And he just goes full Lance Stevenson, Ron Artest on the court. I don't know what the hell he was doing. He just completely went nuts. And he missed two free throws as well. That could have, you never know. We've seen some crazy shit happen in these games. And then he just went, it, and it didn't happen. So, and then, you know, if Halliburton was hurt, Rick Carlisle knows that. Why the hell is he on the court?
He said he wouldn't come out. He said he wouldn't come out.
Who said?
They asked him. They asked him that. He said he wouldn't come out.
Who the coach?
He's a star player, Ken.
Who?
If you want your star job, you got to let the star player do what they do in the NBA. Ken.
Halliburton?
I mean, bro, that's their star.
This, first of all, this is all Dwayne Wade's fault. Ever since Dwayne Wade said this man was a superstar, this man has did everything to prove him wrong. Every single thing, he has let Dwayne Wade down. Dwayne Wade need to be like Elon Musk out there right now and deleted those tweets. And he need to tweet, I read some of my tweets went too far last week. That's what he need to do right now about Halliburton.
I think Magic said it best about the Super Bowl. That's somebody that you want to go see when they're in town. I'm not paying to go. If he come play the Hawks, I'm not paying to go see Halliburton play. Somebody gave me some free tickets, I'd go, but I'm not.
And that's why, Spike, I'm very protective of the word superstar because, like, when I think of super, I always thought that it derived from like superpowers. Like, it feels like this nigga got superpowers. Like, LeBron, I feel like, he's a Marvel hero. Like, he's a DC hero. I look at Kobe Bryant. His ability to just catch fire, don't matter whose hand is in his face, like that's a superpower. Like, you know what I'm saying? Shaq, like, that's the fucking Hulk. When I look at Halliburton, I think he's an all-star. I think he's great. I think he's a great player. But when we think there's a difference between stars, all-stars, and superstars, and I've always been the one to hold that line with Halliburton is great, Jalen Brunson is great, you know what I'm saying? SGA is great. Superstars, though, I guess people kind of started saying it more towards like the branding aspect of players. Like, oh, if they're pushed by the league, then they're a superstar. Nah, bro. I always thought that was just people who are in star roles. You know what I'm saying? Like, we know the difference between like a star actor and just a superstar, megastar. Like, yo, you know what I'm saying? Prime 90s Will Smith is not the same as like, you know what I'm saying? Early 90s Don Cheadle. Like, yo, yeah, Don Cheadle's a star. For sure, he can carry a movie, but Will is box office. You know what I'm saying?
I think there is, and then this will lead me to my last question, and then we'll move on. I think there is a branding aspect to it when it comes to them moving from like NBA casuals, diehards to pop culture. Like you're a household name, and the example. I will cite is Anthony Edwards. Cause I can go and turn around and ask, sometimes I say, hey, do you know this player? Do you know Anthony Edwards? And she knows who Anthony Edwards is. Ain't watching a basketball game in her life, but she knows who he is. And there are certain players in the NBA that she knows based off just certain other things that happen, which increases the marketability of a player, I believe, for the NBA if they were able to tap into it. And then from there, it's up to the players to kind of add on to that to create this sort of mystique and start to win championships, you know? So
I agree. I think it's up to the players and the league. I don't think the league does a good job anymore of marketing and pushing for superstars. So even with the whole, they changed it back for game five, but just like the player introductions, they don't make it feel important anymore. Like we were talking about it in the group chat. Like the finals used to be a thing. I remember it may just be nostalgia. It may be old age showing, but I remember like the 94 finals when Barkley and Jordan were getting announced and everything that surrounded it. You got the logo or the championship trophy on the floor. They showing the trophy before the game. They veered away from all that. I think Cal or either Q said it, like it felt like a regular Saturday NBA game. Like it don't even feel like the finals the way that they're promoting it, and that goes a lot into being superstars or just, building superstars.
Just my question
I don't disagree. I think, you know, because I see the chat, Marty McFly saying marketing is like 10% and 90% is your play.
Well, he likes basketball. I'm talking about for the casual.
I think even for the casual, it's do the kids want to be him? You know what I'm saying? Because even though Tyrese Halliburton has had way more success than this player that I'm going to name, and the play doesn't necessarily, or the winning doesn't constitute him being a superstar, but because kids want to be him and his game, when you watch him play, LaMelo Ball.
Oh my God. Let me ask my question again.
LaMelo Ball is a I won't put him in a superstar status, but he's definitely a star.
I've read his popularity is due to 2K. People like playing with him on 2K.
He's a brand. He's a brand.
What I was talking about earlier, so I will give you that.
Is the remix, baby.
Yeah.
So let's close this out. If the Pacers lose on Thursday, how will this run be remembered, if at all?
Miraculous run. And I don't know if they're going to be able to keep this core together. I would, if you can keep the core together, there's an argument for both sides. Of one side can say, yo, we need to try to keep as much of this together because we're as deep as them and we can go further. And all we need to do is just, you know, Halliburton get more of a offensive game to him. He needs to work on just being more aggressive and, you know what I mean, just go into the summer and just drill, drill, drill. Okay, cool. There's also another side of people that would probably say it's advantageous for them to go get a third piece now. I don't really necessarily know where I stand on it, but I think both have some logic to it, because if you had like a Kevin Durant style player, a guy who that you can say, go get us a bucket on the perimeter. We got Pascal. We got Halliburton as like quasi Jason Kidd with a better 3-point shot. He's kind of like a Jason Kidd LaMelo Ball like hybrid. It's kind of weird, just in the way he plays the game. But that wing player that they're looking for that draws some fear, that two guard that draws some fear, that Jalen Williams type, that KD type. That's who they need to go find if you're in that camp. I would say I'm more so in the middle, that if you can kind of do a little bit of the two, keep some contracts, trade some guys, and then to take a swing on an older kind of cat. Like, I would love to see, like, man, I don't even know, just like a name. I like to see like a Zach LaVine in this offense, like just a guy like that.
Bucket getter.
You know what I'm saying? Just, yo, go get it. You know what I'm saying? And then we'll cover up on defense with two bigs like we've been doing. So if they lose, man, they are at a crossroads, and I think that both camps would have some logic, and I think that you have to trust Indiana because they got this far with, you know, their brain trust.
So Q, I don't disagree with you. The only thing I will say is this. I like the idea of keeping the core together, but the reason why that's going to be impossible is somebody's going to overpay. And you're not going to match it. Somebody's going to overpay for Nimhar. Somebody's going to overpay for Double Zero. You know, I'm bad with names. Like those guys are going to get poached from other teams. That's going to overpay them. Like, I don't know if y'all remember, but like they labeled it a poison pill back in the day when Jeremy Lin was hot. And I can't remember the team that signed him, but essentially I want to say it was Houston.
The Knicks.
What? No. After Linsanity. It was the Rockets. They offered him a poison pill where, like, year one, he was only making $8 million. Year two, he was like $10 million. Year three was like 20 some million. I'm not saying that's the type of contract in terms of like quote unquote poison pill type of contract, but there's going to be a team or teams that's going to overpay for those guys. And if you're Indiana, it's just not smart money. So I think that the smarter move right now is to be in control of what you can control. And some of those guys are still under contract. And I think that you should move on from them and upgrade versus trying to keep it together, because those guys are what they are. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're not going to get much better than what they are. They are really good. Exactly. They're role players. You know, can we say they're championship role players? You know, they're defining that for their own career now, but I wouldn't overpay for them. I'd rather move on from them and go get a KD or whoever else, you know, LaVine and some other players, and just keep Siakam and Tyrese and be like, hey, you know what I'm saying? Even who's the big guy?
Miles Turner. Miles Turner.
You know, so I like him too, but think about this, right? Like the last 3-4 years, he's been in trade talks every year.
He ain't really doing shit. Can't hit a free throw. Spike, we're gonna remember this shit, this run.
I think we will run, because I think that they do what FIFO says and they keep the the main two together. They keep Pascal Siakam and they keep Tyrese Haliburton together. And whatever we can figure out from there, I have trust in Rick Carlisle that he can coach a team up and they can be back in this. And I think Haliburton is that good. I don't call him a superstar, but I do think he's a really good point guard, one of the few pure point guards in the league. So throughout the year, next year, we'll continue to reflect back to this run and talk about how good Haliburton is, is because he's just a different set of player than we usually see in today's NBA. So I think we'll remember this for a long time, just the game winners taking down New York, going through all the teams they went through, the performances, the choke thing, all that shit. Like, this is going to be a memorable run, whether they win or not. And I think, again, with Rick Carlisle being their coach, they can coach this team back up to this. They don't got to pay luxury tax. I don't have to pay these blue-collar dudes. Y'all can go make that extra money and teams overpay y'all to go elsewhere. That's fine. I do think Rick Carlisle is one of the better or best coaches in the NBA to say, okay, I got these two who are my main guys. Y'all give me a new group of guys. Let me coach them up too and it being successful. So, yes, we'll remember this run because I think the essence of this run will be on future teams just from how they perform.
All right. Ken, listen,
Hold on real quick. You know, I know we just had the superstar conversation in terms of Tyrese Haliburton. And even though I agree, I don't think he is one. You have to mention his name in potentially becoming one because of all of the iconic moments that he has had in this postseason. Remember, we talked about it, Ken, like superstars, especially guys that are transitioning into that space. You got to have moments. And we cannot say that Tyrese hasn't had the most moments out of anybody trying to get into that tier of player like that. And I agree with Spike. Like, that's the reason why we're going to remember this run, because of who he knocked off and in the fashion that they did it.
Yeah. Nobody going to remember this shit, y'all.
They going to remember it.
I think so.
Nobody going to give a damn about these.
Haliburton's going to keep doing this.
Like, I think so because the East is going to be wide open for a minute. Like, I don't – you know what I mean? Like, Boston, like, as much as we look at Boston as young pups and shit, those kids are going to be 30 and, like,
30. Yeah, they grow men now.
Yeah, like Banchero and Franz are, like, the next wave of kids who should be coming into their, you know, moment. Indiana right now, they got grown. This is a pretty grown team. Like, this is not, like, a bunch of kids on one team. This is a team of, you know, mid-20s, early-30s guys. So, it's like, this is the moment, and I think that you're going to be talking about this for at least the next 2-3 seasons because Hallie's going to be competing. Like, we don't – like I keep saying, you don't know who the fuck is going to coach the Knicks. You don't know what's going to happen with Milwaukee. You don't know what's going to happen in Philly. And it's like everything else is like Cleveland, do you really fear them? And it's Orlando, Detroit, and Indiana that look like they have the most stability going forward, which is crazy.
Christmas Day game next year would definitely be Indiana at Madison Square Garden.
Absolutely,
that's definitely going to be a Christmas Day game next year.
If they don't do it, then it's just more indictment of the NBA.
Yeah.
All right, if y'all say so. Look, this was a great Cinderella run. I do agree with it. We had a lot of moments come out of it, but that calf has just come off the Pacers, and they had that motherfucker on Haliburton's calf.
the slipper came off.
Yeah, the slipper off, bro. The slipper off. Yep. So it's a